Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One.
Well, a star-packed, action-packed. Actually, the only stars in there are me and Mark Garagos. We're C-listers, let's be honest. Mark goes bananas, and his voice gets super high and goes into those high registers, and that's how you know he's upset. So a spirited soliloquy by Mark Garagos. We have a lot of fun and a lot of laughs in this show, so enjoy it and share it with a friend. First, I'll tell you about Tommy John, the secret to staying sweat-free this summer. Tommy John's summer-ready, ultra-breathable underwear and bras, cool cotton underwear for men and for women. Like having your own on-body AC unit made from premium natural Pima cotton for enhanced airflow. It evaporates sweat super fast. Lounge pants, lazy day joggers, soft Zoom-ready tees and polos. Upgrade to the best. I'm wearing mine right now, especially if you're walking or hiking or going for a jog or cycling or hitting the rowing machine like I'll do every night. You get a little froth going, it'll dry. Air dry right on you. I'm telling you, upgrade to Tommy John today for their most breathable designs. It's the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free. Guaranteed. No adjustment needed. Right, Gary?
For a limited time, go to TommyJohn.com/Adam to get 20% off site-wide. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off site-wide. TommyJohn.com/Adam. See site for details.
This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagos and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on the church. Get on, man. Get on. Welcome to the best hour or so in the universe. It is Reasonable Doubt. I'm Adam Carolla. Mark Garagos in the flesh over here. Okay. Oh, yes. I forgot.
What?
Real quick, yeah. I was talking to Dr. Drew 2 days ago, and he's explaining one of his sons came home and then yacked all over the toilet.
Douglas. It was Douglas.
I said, what happened? He said, he was at Garagos' house. I said, what happened? He caught the flu? No. Well, he caught the Don Julio 1942 flu.
Okay. I didn't know where to begin today. I drive in, and I see your Aston is working.
Yes.
And I swear to God, I thought that Jake was punking me, because mm-hmm. he and I were screaming at the top of our lungs yesterday, because I said, that Aston has been downstairs. You're at home. I can't get you to get the thing to
your
work.
Your Aston.
My Aston.
That's right.
And then I drive up, and we're screaming at each other. I drive up. And your Aston, which, correct me if I'm wrong, has been ensconced for 5 years? The entire time, Reasonable Doubt.
It has been in Al Capone's vault since the mid-90s. Now, you've not seen that thing move since
right,
you've been here.
Since I've been here. And I'm screaming at Jake, completely separate, about my Aston. And then I drive up, and here is yours. And then Gary tells me about the Douglas adventure, and it leads to the fact that I have spent now, and I'm fleeing the jurisdiction, I've spent 150 nights straight in La Cunada. And unfortunately, that probably qualifies me for the next 10 years on the wealth tax. But I'm fleeing the jurisdiction because I live in a frat house. I don't know
if
you know this. Yeah,
I did not know that.
I got Jake. I got Tay. Mm-hmm. Remember Two Buck Chuck and Two Chin Vin,
right,
who were here? Okay, they're both living there. I've got Peter. I got Lucas. I got all of the Will, I got all of these guys, and they're at the house. And now Douglas comes over. Now Douglas has been, you know, very conscientious, I guess, for lack of a better term, putting together his esports.
One of his triplets.
Yeah, yes. I've known Douglas since before Douglas, while Douglas was in the pod mm-hmm. with Susan. And anyway, he's like another son. Anyway, I will go to bed at night. And the hookahs, when the hookahs start coming out.
Oh,
and
really?
Then, yeah. And then you come, and I'll send the picture so that you can post it. And you wake up in the morning, and I can't believe the destruction that occurs. But apparently Douglas was one of the victims.
Yeah, well, that's what Drew said. And Drew said, I think when I saw, that must have been Monday night, because I saw Drew Tuesday morning, and Douglas was still yakking in the bowl when he left.
You suggested a TV show that I would absolutely watch called Drinking with Garagos.
I would watch that. Just set up the GoPros, get out the Don Julio, and let the conversation fly.
And let's go. And and there's there are constantly guests coming in and out. I mean, I never know who's at the house. You never know who's there.
Yeah. It's such a crazy thing. I was thinking as I was leaving my house, I said to
7.3 I saw on Twitter yesterday. I didn't know that.
My daughter.
I love how people slam you for buying a house. What, did you inherit that money or did you earn the money? I don't know. I mean, that's one of my Twitter tweaks is this somebody who's going to slam Adam. Oh, you say that while living in your $7 million house. Yeah, so what?
I don't know.
And for those who don't know, your response was
7.3.
Three, yeah.
But my point is, well, let's be accurate. And I don't like down rounders.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Something happened in this country, and I think you and I have experienced it or reacted to it about the same way, but many others haven't. And it's a phenomenon I never discussed with you, but I've discussed with Drew many times. At some point, people started conflating the trust fund babies and daddy's money babies with the people who just fucking made it on their own.
Yeah.
And my thing is, like, I'm not signing off on that.
I don't agree with that at all. In fact, I was the guy, by the way, for anybody who listens to the show knows I've said it before, I believe in a 100% regressive inheritance tax. I'm so anti the trust fund. I know we diverge on that, but...
Go make fun of Frank Sinatra Jr., but not Adam Carolla.
I don't understand. Nothing makes me happier. One of the happiest moments I can get is when I found out, I won't say the street you're on, but Paulette, you know, she was wandering the neighborhood, was regaling me. And I know the guy who used to own your house, I think two owners ago. Luke was the owner of that house. It was a client, and his ex-wife is a friend of Paulette's. But that's a prime area there. And that house is a spectacular house. And when I heard you bought it, do I want to go throw rocks or do I want to celebrate? I mean, why isn't that a good thing that your friend has done well because he works hard? Is that, well, I don't understand the other. What is the mindset that gets you to, well, to be a hater about that?
Well, first off, you know, my alternatives could have been working on a construction site my whole life, in which case I would have paid in taxes an average of $7,500 a year versus millions of what I paid. So first off, I've contributed to the pot. You want more of me out there versus you want contributors, number one.
Okay. And by the way, can I confirm that? Because the two taxes that are making their way through the Assembly and the Senate right now confirm totally that they do want more of you or me in this state, because that's how they're going to balance the budget.
It's called the Aston Martin tax.
Yeah, exactly.
And anyone who has an Aston Martin but doesn't drive it has enough disposable income that they need to pay their fair share.
Exactly. And by the way, I not only didn't get an inheritance, I found out years later that my grandmother had left me $1,000 and my father swiped it. And, you know, I mean, how's that for a deputy DA? The guy swiped my $1,000 from Grandma Baritza.
Well, so the overarching issue is a societal issue, and it's been going on for a while. So my feeling is first off, whatever anybody has is none of your fucking business. That's their business, number one. Number two, just because you have money, just because you're well off, doesn't mean you're happy, doesn't mean your kids love you, doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean you look good in your underpants. You have all the same problems everyone has, plus an Aston Martin that should be on a trickle charger, but your lazy fucking drunken son won't have the decency to go down there with some quick start and get that thing to catch.
Exactly. Jesus, I swear to God you heard this whole argument yesterday.
I know it.
And then taunted me by parking yours out in the parking lot.
So... you know, it's funny. I did a race, the Long Beach Grand Prix, five years ago, with a guy named Carter Lay. He was the heir to the Lay's potato chips. I just told this story to my son. He was the heir to the Lay's potato chips throne. He was, I think, in his 40s, early 40s, mid 40s at the time. You know, he's the heir. You know, his grandfather invented Lay's potato chips, and now he never has to work a day of his life. And I remember looking at that guy going, God damn, that guy. Blah, blah, blah. 2 years later, he was dead. Just had a disease, you know, had cancer and died. Okay, so is he lucky? Is he unlucky? I don't know. Is everyone he made it to 44. So is everyone who makes it to 50 luckier than he is? Like, what are we talking about? And also, there's just a life of addiction and blah, blah, blah.
And it happens. It's almost like the trust fund or the expectation of the trust fund just does – it does horrible things to your brain.
Yes. The greatest and cruelest joke, he died of leukemia. The cruelest joke you can ever play on someone is just give them whatever they want, whenever they want it, in unlimited fashion, and watch that person start. You know when a dog chews on itself?
Yeah.
Watch that person start chewing on themselves. But anyway, regardless, my feeling was always, A, it's none of your business what anybody has. That shouldn't affect you. You're supposed to go out and get work, not figure out what people around you have. But number two, if you're going to somehow take your crosshairs and get them from trust fund baby to guy who grew up on a construction site digging ditches and now has an Aston Martin and decide that you're going to lump him in with those people, fuck you. You're insane. And also, it's all the people who work hard who don't own it. You know, it's all the guys, flip-flops and cargo shorts. Hey, don't look at me. I'm one of you. Except for I'm on Geffen's yacht later on today. But I'll do this thing where I will go undercover. I'll dress as a peasant to walk amongst the people. I used to say on Loveline a million years ago, and anyone who listened to Loveline in the 90s, the mid and late 90s, know that my saying was, I would go, I'm a millionaire. Literally a millionaire. I would say it over and over again. And Kevin Weather, the program director, and Drew and everything, like, don't. If you said you flew first class, they'd go, no, not first class. I'd go, look, you go do Letterman, they fly you first class. That's what they do. And they'd go, yeah, I know, but the listeners are from Orange County, and they're 15, and they're snowboarders. And I'm like, I'm not one of them. I'm not here to pretend I'm one of them.
By the way, there appears to be in America, there is a desire, and it isn't just our generation. I mean, I see it, mind you. I said I live in a frat house, and I deal with people from across the socioeconomic spectrum. I don't know a whole lot of people who don't aspire. It's one of the reasons why are rappers popular in their rap songs? Why do people want to become NBA stars or sports stars? They, you know, yes, the accomplishment, but a lot of times it's the accoutrements that they get. I mean, that is part of what it is here in America, and part of why other people want to come to America. Isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bizarre relationship. It's like we're preachers that are preaching fire and brimstone about a man laying down with another man, and then we're going to a fucking bus station bathroom and getting a handy. Like, which is it? And my thing is, like, you have too much energy with it. Just everyone, the deal is some people, and then they start parsing it out. Like, oh, you don't think that roofer works harder than you? And I'm like, yeah, I used to be a roofer. I know what it's like to be on the fucking roof of a building. It's harder. It's not smarter. Yeah, it's harder.
It's definitely harder.
Yes. This notion of like calories in and calories out as it pertains to work. Listen, I dug ditches. Literally, that's what I did. I dug ditches. People do it like, you're going to end up a ditch digger. Like, it's not a job. It was. I was digging footings. Doing construction. That's what I did. I understand what that is. Cleaning carpets, doing all the labor on a small, you know, construction site. That's what I did. I understand it.
It's used in ways that are interesting. One of the things that made me think of it, Gary, do you have the article? Because I woke up this morning to a bunch of texts saying Steve Bannon was arrested in New York in the Southern District.
Oh, yeah. What
and
is
Bannon
that?
Sorry. Was, and now I guess you can probably chart every single one of Trump's campaign managers or guys who was on the management team has been arrested, with the exception of Jared. But he was arrested, and what made me think of when I drove up here, he was arrested with two other guys, Tim Shea and another guy who was an Iraq
Andrew
veteran.
Battalotto.
Yeah? And then who's the third?
Andrew Battalotto, Tim Shea, and Brian Colfidge.
Colfidge, correct. Colfidge is an Iraq veteran, a triple amputee.
Let me check on that.
Who's apparently one of the things – the first paragraph of almost every article I read that was sent to me this morning was his affluent lifestyle. And it's a fraud case. But all they wanted to talk about was his affluent lifestyle. And I was
– I know. Yes. He travels and he has an expensive suit. You know what I mean? Like it's always so transparent when they do that. You know, then he bought cufflinks.
Brian Colfidge is an Air Force veteran and multiple-time amputee.
And with some astounding lifestyle, that's the way
he
it was
flies
done.
Business select to Florida. Like, I it's such an easy – and it's also – you know, by the way, you know, Mark probably knows this one too, and I know it too. When you make good money, you understand what the numbers are, and they go, this guy was making $17,000 a month working this – like that doesn't sound
– that's what my – that's what the guy who's defending me from some specious lawsuit just charged for, you know, to look over the paperwork.
Rich guys laughing at America.
There is – what did they – somebody slammed us with that too. Two rich white blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah. Well, first thing. Okay. So my thing has always been instead of pretending to struggle and to be poor, why not use myself as an example of somebody who kind of slipped between the cracks and wasn't college material and came from a poor, broken family to a guy who worked hard and was basically living the American dream? Why are we tamping that story down? Why not build that story up?
My favorite story, I don't know if I've told it to you on the air, but I've said it a zillion times. I had paper routes in La Cañada when I was growing up, and the house I currently live in, which has been turned into a frat house, that was the house that I always swore Dr. Krause lived there. I swore I was going to live there someday.
Wow.
I mean, and I for 40 years, just – I was determined, 35 years. And we had bought another house in La Cañada. We hadn't closed on that one for more than 100 days, and this went on sale, and we bought it. And,
wow.
And that was kind of my dream. I wanted to always live in that house. I said, someday I'm going to make it, and I'm going to live in that place. And I did it. And what am I supposed to feel ashamed over that? Why would I feel ashamed? Now I'm ashamed because I want to sell it and get the fuck out, but and take the cash. But
well, it was funny. I was putting a tweet out the other day where I was saying I watched the DNC, and it was like Trump and his response to the pandemic, and Trump and the pandemic, and the pandemic and Trump. And I was like, could somebody tell Trump to open up the sports clips in La Cañada so I could get a fucking haircut?
They're doing it in the parking lot now.
Are they doing it in the parking lot now? Well, that's there. Just science.
I was there.
They're out in the park. Good. So it's 97 degrees outside.
Gary might be able to find it. I have a client, and it's hilarious. On Monday, we did a little press conference. The client finally said, this makes no sense. They're going out of business. I've never had more active group of clients in this beauty federation that I've represented. Who are a collection of barbers and salons and nail places. All of these people are the quintessential small business.
Yes.
I mean, they're usually – I mean, if you're a sports clip – clips. I don't know about La Cañada.
That's a franchise.
It's a franchise, exactly. And then
no, but the salon, the nail salon, the beauty salon, the whatever, it's quintessential American small business. It's one woman running one shop with four employees and basically trying to run on that hamster wheel and keep everything going.
And so they shut them down. Okay, I understand the shutdown initially. But then what's galling to them and to me vicariously, because they're a client, but I feel for them, is they're opening up places. And we had to sue to finally get them to open up and let them do it outdoors. And the problem was there was this apocryphal story, and I believe it was in Missouri, that there were two, whatever you want to call them, salon workers who had corona. and worked on 140 people. And I remember early on in the litigation, that was, oh, my God, you know, there's 140. Well, guess what? They did the contact tracing. Not a single person was infected by the two people who were working on them for hours. Why would that be? Well, it's people who are trained and regulated and understand that they have to be masked up, that they have to sterilize, that they have to do all the things they have to do. And they're working in close contact. But there, as it turns out, you don't hear about that story anymore because nobody was infected, because right. they were doing it the right way. But somehow in Governor Newsom's brain and Mayor, you know, tag-along Garcetti – by the way, you watch DNC. How infuriating is it to watch video of Mayor Garcetti walking around L.A. commiserating about small businesses who are out of business?
I fucking threw up in my trash can.
I was worse than Douglas was. I wanted to throw some of the TV. And I tweeted the other day – for me personally, why can't I keep these two thoughts in my head? I'm not a fan of Trump, haven't been ever. But at the same time, I can point out things that I think that I like, but I'm not a fan. But at the same time, I can say Newsom and Garcetti are destroying the city and the state. Why are those mutually exclusive? Why can't I hold those two thoughts?
I have no idea. It's essentially, here's what it's broken down to. You see a story on ESPN about a running back for the Chargers punching out his girlfriend in an elevator, and you go, that guy should be thrown out of the league. He should never put on cleats again, because the Chargers aren't your team. But Baltimore is. And so when your guy punches out his girl in an elevator, you go, well, she may have been mouthy and he could have been drunk. I don't condone this. I don't condone it. But, you know, let's give him a one-day suspension. Let's give him a one-week suspension. Let's make that week the bye week. And then we'll bring him back. Come on now. And that's essentially what it is. It's your team versus their team. They don't have enough intellectual honesty to realize that two things can be true. You can hate Trump and you can hate Garcetti. They're doing a fucking horrible job. It's my team.
Right? And why do you have to ignore it? I mean, for somebody who says, because I deal with both federal criminal justice and I'm a business owner in the city and the state. And as recently as yesterday, they tell us, okay, for the restaurants, a perfect example, you got to go outside. So what do? I hire a guy, we build, I spend money, I have this carpenter build a kind of what are planters to, so that we can have outdoor dining. What's the next thing that happens? The homeless use it as an encampment, okay? And I tell the guy, the one homeless guy, I said, dude, you've got Project Room Key. You got four hotels, four of the luxury hotels on Fig Avenue. Go home. You're right there. Not go back where you came from, because you didn't come from the L.A. Grand. But you live at the L.A. Grand rent-free. Plus, they'll deliver alcohol and cigarettes to you. Why are you sitting here on my table? I said, if you're hungry, I got a meal inside. I'll give you a meal to go. But why are you sitting here when I'm trying to just keep – see those 10 people there? They're trying to stay employed. I don't need to do this. I have no desire to do this. It's just as easy for me to just shut it down and let everybody go on unemployment. But these guys have been with me for years, so I'm deciding to deficit spend and try and keep it open. And you're going to just plant down here because you can't walk three blocks to the free hotel room you get up at Third and Fig?
Well, these guys, as far as the hotel rooms go, they like shitting al fresco. Okay? So it's a certain breed of cat that likes to shit out. They don't like being confined in a bathroom, you know, feeling the walls closing in.
Well, then explain this. Because last night, I then get awakened because at 1:30 in the morning, one of the future senators that's homeless on the street is broken into 10E, and he's in the employee locker area, and we've got him on the video. I said, what guy breaks into the employee lockers? And they said, well, he's kind of loaded or something, and he's in the lobby area or whatever and rummaging around. And mind you, This is on the same day that LAPD calls because another patron got assaulted by a crazy woman out front who's got a knife, who literally chases people up and down 7th Street with her knife. And so they finally wanted the videotape. And I said, well, why do you – I'm talking to the detective yesterday. Why do you want the videotape? Yeah, we're going to prosecute. I said, you don't sound too excited about that. Yeah, I'm not. They just – somebody told me I had to because she's got a knife. I mean, that's the – that's what you're dealing with.
Right. The Garcetti clip from the DNC that made
you
me want
right?
to yak. Yes. It started to – we're starting to drift into some sort of Chinese propaganda, sort of French Revolution stuff here, which is he is talking to a small business owner, a woman who owns two restaurants, and he is – explaining to her why it's important that he shut them down. And she's thanking him.
Yeah,
thank you for ruining my life,
exactly.
Kind sir. Now we're getting into bizarre propaganda here where the actual subjects are going, thank you, may I have another?
Right. Why didn't they, if they wanted to be true, they should have showed the DNC video clip of all the people protesting outside of his house. And by the way, I think I'm going to buy a van and I'm going to start taking these guys. I'll give them free meals down where I am, and I'm going to bus them and give them tents, and they can camp out in the mayor's yard. I've put in my 5 years under the mayor's tutelage here, and so why doesn't the mayor now do his part and let them camp out there? You can bring them in, feed them, do whatever you want. It's fine with me. I'm doing my part. Do your part.
You're smart, and Drew's smart, and I talk to you guys a lot in a kind of attempt to sort of calibrate my thinking. Like, what am I missing? And I've said to Drew a million times, but I'll ask the question of you. What is the end game? Like, what is going on? What do they want? You know what I mean?
Why is Garcetti doing this? Because
Newsom. Is it purely... Is it purely political? Is it just – remember I told you about my chaos theory?
Yeah.
I want to bring this up because I've told you about my chaos theory 10 times. When I watched the DNC, Michelle Obama and everyone just say it's chaos. They kept saying there's chaos. You want to end the chaos? Well, end the chaos. You vote in Joe Biden. So I told you chaos until the election, and then you want to end the chaos, then you get our guy. They're physically saying chaos. Now, so is it the chaos theory or what's going on?
No, because before there was this critical mass surrounding Trump, which, you know, some of the listeners agree with, others don't. We've been bemoaning Garcetti. We were early
yes.
money on Garcetti. And mind you, this is coming, I'm going to say it again, from a guy who gave him a fundraiser and has known him since before his days at Occidental College, and obviously knew his father when his father was DA. There's a fundamental ideological problem, and Newsom suffers from the same issue. They do not understand that you can't push the populace to a point that they have pushed them to. They don't understand that people, you know, there's developers that I know who have spent a long time trying to create housing in downtown LA. I've been in downtown LA for 40 some odd years. I was born in downtown LA. Who else can say that? The downtown LA finally 10 years ago started to turn. You could tell. First it was with people walking dogs. Then it was women with strollers. I'm telling you, you can mark the demise of downtown LA because all of the single and actually not single women that I know are fleeing. They're
right.
doing anything they can to get out. When that happens, that's the canary in the coal mine. Women do not feel safe there. You cannot have a vibrant community. So, and this is what drives me crazy. You're going to talk about the DNC is celebrating women. They were celebrating, rightfully so. I've got a daughter. I've got a wife. I got employees. The best people who work with or are partners with me are women. But the problem is, you cannot do what you're doing. This is an untenable situation that is being created. And you then can't just say, we're going to tax our way out of it. It makes no sense. It doesn't work.
No, I get it. And it's interesting that you say women not feeling safe. You know, there's indicators in life. And the truth, will be within those indicators, such as you can talk about crime statistics all you want. You can talk about defunding the police. You can talk about community police. You can talk about anything you want. When you say, when you see women walking around a neighborhood at night, pushing a stroller on the phone or whatever, that's a safe neighborhood. They will let you know. If it's not, if you don't see them or you see them leaving, then it's not. That's how the world works. It's a funny thing.
It's so true.
You don't need to look at numbers or statistics or anything. I had a funny conversation. Don Jr. was on my podcast the other day, and they were sort of arguing with Brian and kind of going back and forth about, like, well, who should fear who? You know, like, you know, if you're a Trump supporter, if you're a Biden supporter, whatever it is, you know, who's causing the trouble? I said, look, simple equation. I have twins. They're 14 years old. One of them hates Trump. The other one loves Trump. The one who hates Trump, we don't have any conversations with. The one who loves Trump, we have conversations with. Like, keep your mouth shut. Don't go start popping off in class. You don't want to get into trouble. You don't want this class to turn on you. Blah, blah. It's going to hurt your career.
I just saw walking on Georgian the other day with Phil.
Yeah, Sonny. Yeah. So the point
who is
it's
very, by the way, you've done a very good job with Sonny.
Yeah, he's great.
He's a teenage boy who will look you straight in the eye, say, hello, Mr. Garrigus, have a conversation. At that age is my father used to call that my Neanderthal phase, but you know what I mean.
He's a mature kid, but the point is I had to coach him up, and his mom coaches him up all the time about keep your mouth shut about liking Trump. Natalia, no one says a word to her. She's down with the Black Lives Matter movement, right? So now you can.
By the way, you know, and this is another telltale sign when people say, well, why do you think the Trump strategy is not working? I said, dude, I spent off and on my entire life in La Cunada. When there are Black Lives Matters protests and people honking in La Cunada, and now I can add when Natalia is a Black Lives supporter, yes, in La Cunada, that's the strategy is not working.
Right.
The Republican Party, you missed the boat here. Trotting out the old suburban women thing is not going to work.
It's funny. I don't need to look at stats or numbers. I can see what's going on in my own home, and you can see women not walking around at night in downtown, and that's the only statistic you need.
I have people who work for the firm who live two blocks away, and they will not walk the two blocks anymore. Part of the reason they were downtown is to be the proximity. They won't work the two blocks. Walk the two blocks. They can't take Uber because of Corona. So they will drive their car for two blocks. Two blocks? I'm not even kidding you. Less than 100 yards.
As of the time you listen to this, they can't take Uber anymore because it's shut down in California.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because the
Uber and Lyft.
Uber and Lyft. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, I don't know that they necessarily are going to regret that, because I think that if they're smart, they will see, you know, their Uber Eats turned out to be one of their more profitable sectors. So I think there's a whole lot going on there besides the fact that the judge ruled that those have to be employees.
Well, what I'm, you know, my my macro question is always, what do you think is going to happen when you do these things? What shall the future be? And are you not experiencing it now? How come you don't see it? As I've said, speaking of downtown, I knew we jumped the shark several years ago when I spoke to the flamboyant gentleman who runs the Staples Center. And the Staples Center could be used as an example of the beginning of reviving downtown.
Absolutely. You can chart it to what AEG did down there.
And I know the guy's in charge of everything, runs the Staples Center. And so if you take a look at, you know, you take a look at Manhattan and you take a look at Times Square, you didn't want to walk as a woman alone in that place in the 70s and the 80s. And then some point they cleaned it up and then you did. And now it's reverting back to not wanting to walk alone.
I was talking with she who remained nameless, who says, Dad, you have dad. You have no idea what has happened in New York. I've talked to people who are my age who say it's a complete return to the 80s. I said it's the 70s. I mean, what's happened in New York?
So downtown Los Angeles was unusable in the 70s and the 80s as well. And then it became the Staples Center and they rejuvenated. They brought it back. Look, it can move in the right direction quickly, and it can move in the wrong direction probably even faster.
Much faster.
It takes a little while to put up a building, a high rise, or build a Staples Center. But the guy who runs that place, I've told you this before. Mm-hmm. I said, last time I was at the Staples Center, I walked out, I tripped over a guy selling hot dogs. He was on your property. He was just on the Staples Center property. He wasn't in the street. I opened the door. The door banged into the guy. He was selling hot dogs, everyone. He wasn't licensed. It wasn't you have restaurants in there that, you know. He said, yeah, it's nothing we can do. He pulled out his phone, showed me a giant picture of a giant cockroach that had been cooking on one of those makeshift barbecues. Many of them spread out all over the place. I said, what do you mean there's nothing you can do? You didn't call the city, tell the cops, get these guys out of here. This is, you're the Staples Center. It's your property. He said, I don't want to get into trouble.
Yeah.
I said, all right,
I
well, now
that
it's over.
Guy's pain. Look at the on 7th Street. We build this beautiful little enclosure so you can have street dining, al fresco. The hot dog guy just comes, plants his thing there. He's not licensed or anything else. He pretends he doesn't speak any English so he can communicate with me. So I bring over somebody who speaks Spanish. Then he doesn't speak Spanish. He has no language, apparently. He speaks nothing. And they come by. I call 311. I call the whatever. They come by. They put tickets on his windshield. He just leaves them there. He doesn't care. There's nothing they're going to do. The cops, however, are over there. And they came in within an hour of my clients on – where is Ted's place? It's called Starring, Gary.
Yeah, it is. It's on La Brea.
On La Brea. Ted says, I'm going to open up inside. There's no science which justifies closing it for the inside. We have people. They make appointments. It's one-on-one, blah, blah, blah. By the way, all of his competition is doing a bootleg. Right.
Right.
I mean,
every time I run into my friend Matt, I'm like, he's one of these guys, he's fastidious with his haircuts. You know, he gets it every like 3 weeks or whatever. I go, where'd you get a haircut? Like, oh, the guy brings me.
Yeah.
I got a guy for you guys downtown.
Yeah. Everyone's got a guy now. The chick I talked to is doing Brazilian waxes in her goddamn house now. Like, she's bringing people. You've created an entire underground economy. Like,
I can't get the cops to come for virtually anything. However, within 1 hour of this guy saying that he was going to open up, the cops were there.
Yeah.
Within 1 hour. I mean, it was just – it's just phenomenal.
But
I mean,
what is the what is happening? What is the thought process? Like, I'm still not getting – other than we're going to run everything in the ground and we don't care, what is the answer? There's the cops. There's your client.
Yeah.
There they are.
I'll send it to you, Gary. I'll send it to you. I mean, mind you, I feel bad because neither of these guys wanted to be there. But
the cops.
I mean, but they were obviously dispatched. I love, and Gary, you can post it. Look at the uniform. This is what they're doing. Mind you, Adam, you would have died. I wish I had a video and you were with me when we did it. We have a podium out front. We do the announcement that the guy says, you know, there's no science. This makes no sense, blah, blah, blah. As you're doing it, I'm looking across the street. There is an encampment. All along across the street. Now, mind you, there's a guy peeing, there's a guy defecating, there's another, you know, all across the street. Does anybody even go over there and say, man, maybe we'll get a porta potty? By the way, do you want to do a room key? I'll put you in a hotel up here. No. They do come out ever, will have no problem coming in to the tax paying citizen, rent paying citizen. A guy who's trying to do a business, who's put all of his life savings into it, and immediately write him a citation for a criminal offense. Criminal offense!
They shut the electricity off in a house up on Mulholland, I guess, that was throwing too many parties. Look, it's a super simple equation, and you don't need to know anything about history or economics to understand this. I've said it many times. L.A. has always been a city that kind of divided the empty bags and the taxpayers into two different groups with two different sets of laws and enforcements of laws and so on and so forth, which is if you don't have a checking account, you can't cut them a check, you can't pay them, you don't pay taxes, then you essentially do whatever you want. If you do run a business, you have employees, and you have a checking account, and you can, you know, pull permits and do this, that, and the other, they regulate the shit out of you. And basically, it's a balance. So if you want to know the answer to everything, you go extreme. You just go as far that way or as far this way. I said to people all the time, do the extreme and then you'll know. So if you said, what if the county and what if Los Angeles and what if California, for that matter, what if they just said, I am going to tax and regulate and permit everybody who wants to start a business and everyone who has a business and everyone who pays taxes at 90%. And conversely, if you're a criminal or you're homeless or whatever, you do whatever you want. Shit on everyone's lawn, bust into everyone's business, light something on fire. We'll never enforce any laws against you. All right. If you did those two extremes, then the people that were paying 90% would all leave immediately. Okay. So what we're doing now is a version of that, which is getting a percentage of those people who pay taxes and obey laws to leave. And the more it moves toward no governing of criminally insane people, junkies, and schizophrenics who are on the street.
Say, Mia gets mad at me when we say schizo. She says Mia, it's like using St. John. She keeps telling me.
St. John, the boxer. Yeah. All right. People who are operating with an emotional deficit.
Right.
All right. Those people, and the more they come down on your clients who are trying to open their barber shops, then the more people shall flee that to go somewhere, and the faster the system, the faster the city and county will come undone. So that you're seeing a coming undone because of their separation of taxpayers and empty bags. I've always talked about it. Gary, you've heard me talking about this for 10 years. It's just now we've added creatine to the mix. Now we're supercharging the come down on taxpayers and do nothing about the people that are breaking the laws or doing whatever in public or doing whatever. You're seeing a greater version of this. The smaller version of it I used to see was always on Forest Lawn Drive. Guy nice. Selling flowers on one side of the street, no problemo. You driving a minivan 44 miles an hour on your way to take your kids to soccer practice, you're getting a ticket. That is a small version of what I'm talking about. Now expand that over an entire county, have Dr. Alien defecating in the alley and them doing nothing, have your client trying to open his business safely, have the Fed show up. That's what I'm talking about.
How, and I don't understand the deployment of resources, the idea that somehow that you've got enough time that I've never seen LAPD response time like this. The middle of the day, you can get there within the hour. I hadn't left and the cops were already there. Can you imagine? I'd love to get that response time. Or my favorite, you mentioned the house where they shut off the utilities. Somebody at Channel 11, I believe, I forget, I wish I remembered his name, actually interviewed the neighbors, said, well, were they having parties? One neighbor said, no, they weren't. It was just a way to, it was show. It was complete show.
Well, the scary part is when the government starts sending messages and making examples. You know, there's that gym owner in New Jersey, couple of guys trying to open their gym, and the government, you know, now it's like, there's an interesting thing when the person who's trying to safely reopen their business to pay taxes, the governor says, how dare you defy me? Now I'm going to take my stormtroopers. They're going to come over and you're going to rue the day you tried to open your business. This notion of now citizens and taxpayers are now doing battle with their governors and their mayors because they dared to defy them by trying to safely reopen their business. And I need to send those people a message. You need to send taxpayers a message.
Yeah.
I mean, trying to safely reopen.
I won't mention the city, but I'm doing business in another city where they want to have me pay a penalty and an interest for not filing a city tax return on a month when we were closed down by order of the city. So they not only were we closed down and couldn't make any income, but they want to now, because I didn't file a return of zero, they now want to penalize me for that. And I'm teeing it up because I think it's going to be one of the best lawsuits I ever have of just idiocy. I can hardly wait to cross-examine the city finance person. But we'll get to that after you do some important business.
How are you going to get – look, again, there's two of us, and we only have two Aston Martins.
Yeah.
How are we going to get a third with these crippling taxes? I agree. Madison Reed Mister. Oh, yeah. This stuff is good. Madison Reed Mister. It's a gray blending, natural color for your hair and your beard. You can see the before and after shots on their online at their website. They don't have the shoe polish look. It's nice. It's natural. Madison Reed's been around for a while.
You used it?
Yeah, they do it. They do it for the ladies. Lynette uses it. I use it. It comes in a little kit. You get the little rubber gloves. You rub in the color, and you just rub it. You just put your hands like through your hair.
It looks natural on you. I never would have guessed.
It takes a little. It just takes a little of the salt out and puts in a little more pepper. It's easy, quick, and simple to do. It takes about 10 minutes. You just leave it in for 10 minutes. You rinse it off. It's nice. It's natural. Right, Gary?
That's absolutely right. Go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's MadisonReedMR.com. And use code Corolla for 10% off plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's code Corolla.
So what do you think about the Uber and the Lyft situation?
Well, I've always had a real problem with, and we represented some of the drivers, because if their wild valuation is conditioned on the fact that they don't have to pay the employee, that the employees were not employees. And I suppose be careful what you wish for, because now by classifying them as employees, they don't want to do business here, which is what they always said they were going to do when we were litigating this.
What other cities and states have done this?
I believe that they did it in England, did they not?
There were some international cases of this.
But we'd be the only one in the United States?
To the best of my knowledge.
Yeah, I haven't gotten in the weeds recently, but part of the – I always wonder, because California is obviously such a lucrative market for them, did they see that in the post-corona area that it didn't – or era – that it didn't make sense to stay here because it was easier to turn the switch off, leave, and then wait and see what happens with corona? Because I know, at least anecdotally, I've never joined either Uber or Lyft that I'm aware of. That most people that I know don't take it anymore.
Oh, they don't?
Yeah. Most people.
Because of the corona?
Because of corona. I don't know if, Gary, you have that experience or not.
I mean, I used to take Uber 3 times a week. I haven't been in one in 7 months.
Yeah.
I was in one Sunday night.
Were you really?
Yeah.
It's not that I wouldn't get in one out of fear. It's just that's, you know, the way life has changed. It's not as prominent anymore. But I've seen, I don't know if you have any thoughts on this, Mark, but in some of the articles I've been reading, because I find this story interesting, there Uber is now talking about, for California, licensing out their platform to fleet car services and stuff like that. So basically they would stay there. You would still be able to order an Uber from your phone, but it wouldn't be a sole contractor like Fondelier back in the day who would be picking you up. It would be going to an established licensed company who would then send a car
to you. Which is a brilliant kind of a move, I think, because that takes them, they're one layer above, and they become basically a pure technology company, which is what they've always argued. I mean, that's been kind of their argument in court, that we're a technology company and that basically what we're doing is we're giving you a logarithms and people have the ability to work whenever they want to work. And so therefore, they're the classic definition of a 1099 as opposed to a W-2. The problem that I've always got with that, I'd love to. Why can't I make that argument? Everything always comes back to me because I'm so self-centered and you and I are trying to find another Aston Martin. But if they can make that argument, why can't I make the argument with especially front of house employees in restaurants, since they're making tips, why do I have to still pay them minimum wage? I'd rather pay the back of the house a much higher wage, let the others be 1099, not have to deal with them. You want to make your tips and you want to work the front of the house, make your tips. You don't want a pool, make your tips.
Yeah, I've always been kind of live and let live in this regard, which is, you know, when I work construction at the height of my game, I made $15 an hour, and I had.
But
to
that was when what was minimum wage then?
When I was making $15 an hour, it's probably $4.85 or right. $5.85.
Because I remember that shows you how old we are. I remember when $15 an hour was real money.
Oh yeah, that my goal was always to make $15 an hour. It wasn't real money, but
my father used to say growing up, their goal was back in Chicago, and we're talking the 30s. $10,000 a year was unbelievable.
It was enough for me to get by. But I had a roommate, Ralph, who worked as a bartender at like Tequila Creek or someplace and some bar, and he'd come home at the end of the night with, you know, $200 cash and a couple of phone numbers, you know, and I'd go, Jesus Christ, I'm reading plans all day. We're using my own tools on a construction. You go out and do a 3-hour shift. You come home with $200. You don't even have to climb
it. High school at Emily's Restaurant, which is now whatever it's called, Parkway Grill. When I was working there.
Parkway Grill. I think I took the Uber to Parkway Grill.
Did you really?
Is it on a Royal? What?
Yeah,
no.
It's on a Royal Parkway, right?
Yeah, way down in the parking lot.
Yeah, it's the Smith Brothers. So I used to work there in 1975 when it opened. I could make $400 cash on the weekend in high school. I mean, that was unbelievable.
So my feeling is always, look, if you want to get a job where you could walk out of there with a couple $100 cash every night, then you may take that job. I would recommend you take that job. Do you also need to get paid minimum wage for doing that job? I don't see why you need to get paid minimum wage for doing that job, because you're walking out there with $200 for doing that job. I was getting $15 an hour and walking out every day with $160 worth of, and it wasn't cash, you know. So the back of house, the guys that are mopping, the guys that are frying, the guys that are working the grill, I'd prefer those guys get $20 an hour versus who are already getting $80 an hour.
Right.
And tips.
By the way, for all of you who like to tax, I have never, and this is an amazing streak, I have never seen a server declare their cash tips. It's an amazing thing how they only get credit card tips.
Right. All right. You can go to Tempe Improv and see me September 18th and 19th. We're doing live podcasts there and stand-up. And then October 2nd and 3rd,
I'm open to be your, speaking of Uber taxi, to be your little taxi to Salt Lake City. I'm trying to get one of our cases heard on one of those days.
Well, be prepared, because August is like, get Mark up on stage. That guy's great. So I'll be a Wise Guys. Maybe Mark will be there as well. We're doing a couple of live podcasts and then stand up after that. And then who knows what hotel.
You know, if you're at Wise Guys, I know which hotel we should go to. It's walking distance from Wise Guys. So as we get closer, I'll tell you. And I get a rate.
Oh, good. Well, let me tell you. I told Mike that. He dropped
when he sees this place, he's going to wonder why you guys haven't stayed there before.
As long as you're getting a rate.
I'm getting a rate.
All right. You can check out my book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's available on Amazon and everywhere else. And leave a review. I read them. And you can check out our YouTube page, which is youtube.com/Adam Carolla. Mark, what do you got?
We've got, by the way, the one place that's really thriving in this post-COVID era is the Capri Hotel in the Hamptons. The Hamptons have become the kind of enclave from New York City.
Right.
So go to the Capri. The Naya restaurant there is getting rave reviews. I haven't been there yet, but a lot of friends have. I would head out to Palm Springs if you want to sweat out the toxins. I mean, we may send Douglas there.
Better hope Uber doesn't go away. He'll get 3 DUIs driving home from your house.
Yeah, and if you're there on Saturday night, go by Gigi's, the new restaurant. They've got a price-fixed menu. Casa Tropicana in San Clemente. And Engine Company 28 and 10E. Come downtown. Dine al fresco.
So until next time, I'm Crow from Mark Garriga saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Corolla Digital.